Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Don't forget to check me out noon to 4 tomorrow, 106.7 The Fan, after Andy Pollin and Tom Lavero from 9 to noon. But at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, I mean, we just had the Lurch Papa, Bish, from the Junkies stop by on a Friday night at almost 9 o'clock. I wanted to keep him, like, for an extra hour. Vic said, no. We have another commitment. We have a bigger superstar, a guy who pulls in monster numbers each and every Saturday morning, monster ratings, the host of the Daily Dilly, the download, Mr. Blue Shorts himself, Chris Lingbach. How are you, Blue Shorts? Is this microphone on?
How is that better?
You? Yes, that's perfect. How did we screw that up?
I don't know. I think Jason in the last segment grabbed the wrong mic. But he grabbed it over.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
good
he point. Turned it on himself from his long, giant fingers.
You know, how do I turn down Bish from the Junkies at 9 o'clock on a Friday
I don't
night,
blame
right?
you. I would have canceled me. Asked him to stay for another segment.
He wanted so out of here. He's like this pain in the ass. He literally wanted to get his plug and go back out and go home and go to his mansion and whatever.
I want to make sure I heard him correctly because did he say that he drove all the way in here from Ashburn?
Yes.
To get a $13 computer cord?
Yes. And you quipped to me during the commercial break when Bishop was out of here that you were perplexed by this.
I'm not at all perplexed. They call him a squeaker on the show. That is an all-time squeaker move. I mean, he literally could have gone to any computer store, Office Depot, anywhere.
Right. Right.
And got in a court for $13, but he drove all the way in.
I did not feel like it was my place. I don't feel secure enough in my standing around here
He took the toll road, which means he paid a toll.
He did. And the toll road, what, cost you about $350-ish each way from Ashburn?
So he had to have done the math
plus
in his head.
Plus the gas.
He said $350 versus $13.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the $350.
It's about a 30-ish mile trip. It's about 33 miles, roughly. I don't know where exactly in Ashburn.
How much in that is gas?
I mean, I know he's probably coming from Bonefish, right? So from Bonefish and Ashburn to 1015 Half Street, right beyond Nationals Park, plus $350 on the toll road.
It's probably about
each
$6
way.
In gas.
Right?
Yeah, so that's $9.
No, $350 each way. Because he's going to take the toll road
nine,
back.
So 10, say 11,
$7.
He probably saved 50
spent
cents.
15 cents, and he got roped into doing radio with my dumb ass.
He saved 50 cents.
I see like some big tall guy walk right in front of the window and lean over and get like something off the floor. And the lights go on and I was just like, I said to Vic without saying it because I wanted to make sure my eyes weren't deceiving me. I said, is that who I think
it was? It was like seeing Santa Claus walk in.
I mean, at 9 o'clock on a Friday night, what the hell are you doing here, dude?
Yeah, that was amazing. To save 50 cents.
Crazy.
I mean, I love him, but that's Joan worthy,
I mean,
as they say.
Yeah, well, I have a feeling this might come up on the Junkies.
It might.
On Monday morning. Maybe it'll come up on the Daily Download.
Yeah,
no?
Maybe so. That's tomorrow at 7 a.m.
Yes. What do we have? Now, did I do anything really stupid this week to fill up half of your show?
To be honest with you, no. Quite the opposite. You're definitely going to be in the top five this week for your actual job for once, which is great, I think. Tip of the cap to you, my friend. You actually did something right.
For something I said or something I wrote?
No, it was for your reporting on the Redskins coaches and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Remember you had that big...
That's right. You're the big heavy hitter here because your tweet got picked up by Bill Barnwell of ESPN.
Yeah, that's right.
The link to the story.
Well, you know... Dukes always gets mad when that happens,
what?
But I can't include like every single person involved in the tweet because there's only so many characters. It looks clunky.
It's okay. It's okay.
But I credited you because you were the source material.
I wasn't mad. I appreciated that you did that. I saw that, and then I followed Bill Barnwell. I wasn't following him.
We actually have the clip of the story right here. This is what led to one of our top five stories from thefandc.com this week. It's Russell's Tom Sula Callahan report.
All right, Ben Kotwicka, you want to kiss him in his mouth. I know you're a big fan.
Yes.
I assume
I want to play tonsil hockey. Yes.
Do we know, was his deal up, Rooster? How did this happen, and why are the Redskins not announcing any of these things?
Yeah. So here's what I know. I don't know if his deal actually was up. Matthew Paris of the Washington Times just reported on Twitter he was granted permission, which tells me that his contract was not up. I didn't think it was up, but I didn't have confirmation on that. Dukes, Tommy, I was told, let me see now, Friday, I believe it was, maybe it was Saturday, that there were three coaches specifically, and I've been reporting about Callahan wanting out and Tom Sula wanting out, and the third coach was Ben Kotwicka. And, you know, I couldn't get it 100% confirmed from a different source, so I didn't roll with that, but I kept checking and checking and checking and talking and talking, and this does not surprise me in any way. And what I was told at the time was, they are done. They are tired of the three-ring circus. They don't want to be here. Wow. It is not fun for them. It is not enjoyable for them. It's going nowhere. They understand the politics. They understand the culture and that there is none. And they understand how acrimonious and smoke-filled that building is, period.
All right. So that was me on Wednesday, I believe that was, with Chad Dukes and Tom Lavero. Right around 5:30 after we found out that Kotwicka was leaving for the Atlanta Falcons. And then subsequently to that, we found out Callahan's still under contract.
Uh-huh.
Tom Sula is not under contract.
Right, you were vindicated because you had about two other reporters confirm that.
Yeah. So I don't know if they're both going to leave. I don't know if one's going to leave. I mean, I would assume Tom Sula is going to leave, but somebody pointed out, I can't remember who it was, you know, oh, maybe it was Michael Phillips.
Michael Phillips.
I know you wrote about this as well at thefandc.com. You can check out all of Schwartz's coverage and all of the digital coverage, again, at thefandc.com. A great source and for audio and obviously write-ups and all the different quotes and coverage of all the local sports teams, thefandc.com. So Phillips was kind of – he was more saying that he thought Callahan would be the one to leave over Tom Sula because Tom Sula has so much to work with here.
He was suggesting that Tom Sula was kind of blowing off some steam, whether, you know.
And maybe that's true. I don't know. I mean, you know, I mean, that happens after a long football season where you get 3 hours of sleep a night.
Well, he's going, Michael Phillips is going, you know, Tom Sula is looking at his defensive line. Daron Payne, Matt Ioannidis, Jonathan Allen,
Tim Settle,
all of these beasts, and they're young. They're like all like 22 years old going, you've got the makings of the future best defensive line in the NFL. How are you going to be professionally secure or satisfied going anywhere else knowing that you left that situation? It's, I believe, the way that Michael Phillips characterized it.
Yeah, and here's the interesting thing. He was brought here by Greg Minuski. I mean, obviously his reputation was outstanding as a defensive line coach under Harbaugh in San Francisco, hence the reason why he got the head coaching job for 1 year. Then he took 1 year off, and then he comes back to the Redskins as defensive line coach. Now, a lot of people would be very happy, I think, or reasonably happy, if Minuski was fired and Tom Sula was named the defensive coordinator. So I wonder if that could happen, but I wonder if Tom Sula would do that to his pal Minuski, assuming that they're still tight, and I would think they still are. But
that's
again, his contract is up. He can go anywhere he wants unless there was some sort of silly provision that we don't know about, which I can't imagine that he would agree to. He can go anywhere, and maybe he's just waiting for the dust to settle on some of these head coaching hires and for everybody to kind of fill out their staff before he jumps to the opportunity that he wants.
We actually have that Michael Phillips audio right here.
Let's do it.
Did you hear that report? What do you make of it? And are you hearing some of the same things?
Yeah, you know, and I would just draw the line between guy blowing off steam and guy who's actually going to make a move. And I would separate the two in that regard. I think Callahan is the one more likely the two to make a move. He would be in demand elsewhere in the league. He could potentially get more play calling responsibilities, things like that elsewhere in the league. He had some here in Washington. You know, not that Tom Sula is not well respected, but also where are you going to go that has that level of young talent to mold? You know, for as much as this place is a circus, and that's certainly been well documented, there are some really big boys up front. Payne, Ioannidis, Settle, Allen. You know, this is a really top-notch collection of young defensive line talent. I think he'd be hard-pressed to find a job where he gets the professional satisfaction and results that he's going to get working with these guys. That said, wouldn't rule it out. This is a crazy offseason. Crazy things are happening there. And I don't think anybody really has their finger on the pulse of what's going on at all. I think Rooster's report's fairly accurate, but nobody knows who is employed or not employed in that building right now, which is kind of wild.
So that was what threw me. As I was listening to that yesterday afternoon, I forget where I was.
Doesn't matter.
And he was like, nobody's sure who's employed. No, it doesn't matter. I was just pointing out, just for context, I was listening. Not sure where I was. Just pointing out.
Not important.
I didn't want to sing my praises. I was actually at the gym.
Okay. What were you saying?
Anyway, he said, nobody's sure who's employed and who's not. That was intriguing to me.
Yeah.
Because what?
These guys are just running around just completely clueless.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Sula still technically is sort of employed by the Redskins, but his contract is up. He's still listed on the Redskins official website as one of their coaches. Again, we don't know if there's some other provision in this contract, but Diana Rossini and then John Keim both reported first that Tom Sula's contract was up. So I guess that's maybe what he meant. Or did he mean Minuski? Because he's still employed, but we don't know if he's staying or not staying. So this is all part of the intrigue that I guess is going to continue into next week.
It's definitely intriguing at the very least.
Yeah.
I mean, if they don't know who has a job and who doesn't, then we certainly don't know. And all that's left is for us to kind of pick up the pieces.
What kind of coverage do we have on thefandc.com? And what can we expect to hear tomorrow morning about the Bruce Allen situation, not only keeping his job, which we all knew about, but getting a re-promotion back to running the business operations for the now disposed of Brian LaFemina?
Well, what's great about going through the top five stories of the week from thefandc.com is end up being the biggest stories of the week and gives me a great opportunity in that 1 hour that I have from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. to really tell the story of the week bit by bit. And much of it is going to be Bruce Allen related.
You love bits.
I do love bits, and I love bits by bit.
Yes.
So I'm just going to take people through it, and it's going to be like an episode more than it is a couple of different segments. Mm. You know
so you're
saying?
Here until like 9:30, 10 o'clock tonight, and then you come back at 6:30 tomorrow morning.
That's correct.
Ready, yeah. Coffee, bagels, right?
That's correct.
And ready to just slay over a hot microphone.
I'm a really hard worker. I'm probably the hardest worker here.
I would agree. Much harder worker than JT the Vic.
That's right.
Is that fair?
And Chris Russell.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, you just said I was the hardest worker here, and you agreed.
I said you were a very hard worker. I didn't say you were a harder worker than me.
Yeah. But I mean, we all know that.
It takes a lot of time to perfect my craft.
Hey, you know what's funny? Is when we were playing that first clip of you at the beginning of the segment, I actually saw you make a little glance with your eyes, and it was about halfway through the clip, and I'm telling you, for a second, I think I realized that you were going, come on, hurry it up, listening to audio of yourself. And so I think you came to the same realization that we all do sometimes, which is get to the damn point. You were listening to your own audio, and you had this realization.
I mean, you know, here's the thing that I would say.
You did have a look.
I am belabored sometimes.
You almost just did a hand motion right there.
I'm just saying, I am a little bit slow. I get it. I understand. But I look at it almost like a fine wine. It just gets better with time. Okay? Like, the longer it takes, it might take me a little while to get the engine fully running. But usually, I'm Ferrari-like speed, man.
You're slow burn, is what you're saying.
I'm kind of like a Hyundai. It just builds up.
Right. He's a Daniel Jeremiah slow cooker.
Yes. I'm zero to 70 in about 8.2 seconds.
Minutes.
All right, it's the daily dilly.
The download tomorrow at 7 a.m.
The download tomorrow at 7 a.m. live. He'll take your calls at 800-666-1067. Chris Blue Shorts Lingbach on the Fan. We had Jason Bishop from the Junkies drive all the way in from Ashburn. He does a morning show. It's a very popular. Oh, look at this.
You ask and you shall receive.
How about that? We had Jason Bishop call. We had Morning drive covered, afternoon drive covered. We had a TV star covered. Now we have a media mogul covered. Because not only does Byron Kerr do TV on Masson.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
But he also writes for MassinSports.com. He's the voice of George Washington basketball. He's also an on-air personality here at 106.7 The Fan. And what else do you do?
Pre-game show on Masson.
Well, I said, you know, you're on Masson.
Oh.
I mean, I didn't specifically say pre-game show, but you do everything. You report.
I did a story about Carter Kibun today.
Absolutely.
And
you're a man of many talents.
GW plays Richmond tomorrow at 4.
Right. So you got
check your local listings.
There you go. There you go. You're going to be on
Broncos
the call.
Broncos got
that
a
game.
New coach.
The
I'm
Broncos
pumped about
got
that.
A new coach. Vic Fangio.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
You're all fired up.
The Godfather, they're calling him in Denver now.
What do you make of this whole Vic Fangio, Gary Kubi? I think that's a good thing for him because it removes any criticism of a conservative offense or a. Because you know that he's going to say, look, if you can give me 17 points a game, especially with Von Miller. And
Bradley Chubb and
Bradley
Chris Harris
Chubb and
Jr.
Chris Harris.
Yeah, I agree.
I think 17.
I think
and I'll win you 10
they were
games.
Trying to put a dream team together of coordinators and coaches and see. And what I've heard is Mike Munchak, who was in the final running, wants to be the offensive line coach because his daughter is either working or going to school in Denver. So
they could still get him.
So they could still get him, even though he didn't get the HC position.
Ooh, interesting.
But I think what happened is Gary Kubiak probably said, yeah, I want to bring Rick Dennison. I want to bring the whole band back together.
Mm-hmm.
And Fangio's going, I'd really like to have a say in how this is decided. And so Elway said, you know, you're right. You get to decide who your OC is because you're the freaking HC, and we're going to decide it together.
So he decided that Kubiak was the OC, right?
No. He's out of the running now.
Oh, is he?
That was the big secondary news.
I missed that.
He's now available for other teams.
Kubiak.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, so
yeah.
I thought they were keeping Kubiak.
That was the original plan, but then Kubiak said, I want to bring Rick Dennison. I want to bring some other guys here.
Okay, so that's where I got through. So Kubiak is not going to be involved at all now.
Troy Rank is still reporting that there's a possibility that he could work in the front office. But I don't think he wants to do that if he wasn't allowed.
See, I was going to say this to me, the way it appeared to be set up for the Denver Broncos was actually a way that I thought maybe worked from the standpoint of usually these guys are brought in as head coaches because they have an expertise on one side of the ball, not because necessarily they are. I mean, obviously, if you hire a head coach like Adam Gase, who's been a head coach before, or Marvin Lewis, or whoever's had head coach experience, you're not just an expert on your side of the ball, but coaches are always going to lean towards their identity, right?
Right.
So if you brought in Fangio, clearly they are going to build around their defense. But I thought by having Kubiak say, all right, well, Kubiak doesn't have to deal with the media. He doesn't have to do daily press conference. He can just cook up things in the lab.
Yeah.
And Fangio basically removes all the pressure from a conservative offense or from Case Keenum sucking because he doesn't have to worry about it. He can just coach defense and be the head coach. I thought it was a pretty good setup.
It is a good setup, but look at the scenario if things don't go well.
Yeah.
Then they're going to turn and say, maybe we should make Kubiak the coach because the last time they won the Super Bowl, Kubiak was the coach.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're signing Fangio to be your head coach
for presumably
a four-year deal,
yeah,
right? I mean, you're not going to do that right away.
No.
I mean, I guess
bleed.
You could do it after 1 year, but... the Vance Joseph hiring didn't exactly help.
Negative.
Here's a quick question. Like, why didn't Elway, I mean, there were some rumors about Mike Shanahan. Why didn't that ever perk up?
Like, why didn't – do you think that's Uncle Mike not wanting to do that, or do you think that's Elway just not wanting to go down that well?
I just feel like that was a dinner last December, not 2018, but 2017.
I thought that was another rumor that we had about a month ago.
They're saying that they had dinner Christmas of 2017 after Vance Joseph had a mediocre
first season. And they decided to keep him
like,
for the
hey,
year,
come
too.
Come on, man.
I guess what I'm saying is why didn't that maybe perk up again for this – this head coaching situation.
What I'm saying is that probably the secret got out, but the fact that they had that discussion and then it didn't work out for whatever reason, whether it was Shanahan, whether it was Elway, or Joe Ellis, who's the Bruce Allen of the Denver Broncos kind of a thing.
Is he better than Bruce Allen?
But there's a lot of the same things going on in Denver are going in D.C. because, unfortunately, Patrick Bullen has Alzheimer's, so that the ownership is under a trust.
Right.
So Joe Ellis has become the de facto top of the line, like
so.
Bruce
he's
Allen.
Essentially the owner or the CEO. Type.
Well, no, there's a trust that is supposed to be, but yeah, all football operations, Joe Ellis decides with John Elway,
and even over John Elway, right? Like, John Elway reports.
I would think that was the case because that was what the story said is that Ellis nixed the Shanahan deal last year, I'm thinking that maybe in 365 days it wasn't discussed again. Only the story got out. Anyway, are we losing Washington, D.C. fans about this?
Maybe, but I like to talk about what interests
me. You're a good
man. All right, so real quickly.
Now, the other thing I wanted to mention about the Nationals before we go off, and I think I talked to you about this before, is it's interesting that Manny Machado and Bryce Harper still have not signed.
Yeah.
And I was told from my sources, and I think I told you this before, that Scott Boras would rather have his client get a better deal than the Manny Machado deal.
Yes.
Because he's trying to beat Machado because Machado used to be his client.
Right.
And now he's with Dan Lozano.
But apparently Machado wants Harper to sign first.
Correct.
Because that helps.
That sets the bar.
If you believe the reports, Machado was apparently only being offered around $200 million by the White Sox, if you believe all those reports, right? Which seemed to me stunningly low even at this point in time, even though that's a ton of money.
But that's what made me laugh about MLB trade rumors is that they said Machado wants $300 over 10, which is was the starting point for Bryce Harper.
Right.
So but you don't where think is he getting that number
You don't
from?
Think he's going to get only $200, right?
No, no way.
Right? Really low.
Everybody, but what I've heard about the White Sox and other teams is that the White Sox don't want to go past 7 years with Machado.
Right.
And everybody wants a 10-year deal. Yeah. So it's very hard to get a 10-year deal for $30 million, per. But
if I took,
said the rumors you heard is that the numbers are even higher than that.
Yeah.
For
I mean, I don't know the years, but I mean, I heard an absurd figure. And if that number is true from the White Sox to Harper, I think he's going to have a hard time turning that down. I mean, I understand the comfort and knowing Washington and all that. I don't know where the Nationals' offer sits. Did they include an opt-out? That was rumored. Did they significantly bump it up to, say, 315, 320, 320 to beat, what's his name, Giancarlo Stanton's overall deal? Maybe they top 325. I don't know
we
stand.
The key to me is the opt-out. There has to be an opt-out somewhere. Bryce to sign a long-term deal.
Ultimately, where do you think, real quickly, before we run out of time, I guess we're all pretty late.
I'm going to have a very short update here.
Ultimately, where do you think Bryce Harper signs?
That's so tough.
I
just think you're right.
We
think
could
you're
all
right.
be wrong. So.
I thought that, like as I said, the pole position was the Nationals. I thought they had a chance. The longer it goes, the Nats have a better chance. But I still think what you said earlier, maybe not even the White Sox, there's some secret team out there.
Oh, so you think there's
splash.
Another new,
I just,
another
I just think
team maybe.
Something else is going to happen because that's what always happens in these majors deals. When Alex Rodriguez signed with the Rangers, no one ever thought that was ever going to happen.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, wow.
Now, see, I don't want to be a homer and say, I think he's going to be with the Nationals.
I understand.
But I think there's a good chance.
Yeah, I think
there's a very good chance.
I would say there's a 40-ish percent chance.
Then,
is that fair?
You have DJ LeMahieu. Embarrassment of riches in the infield of the Yankees. You could have embarrassment of the riches in the outfield if you had Harper there and all those other guys, Juan Soto and Victor Robles, set for a long, long time. And then what do you do with Adam Eaton?
I think Machado, if Machado goes to the Phillies and Harper comes back here, I mean, that's going to be great theater, number one.
But that makes the best sense, I think.
I mean, the Braves are really good.
Yeah.
The Mets are looking like they're – I mean, they brought in Jed Lowry. They've made some quiet,
Brody's
good defensive –
Brody's doing a great job. Yeah.
I mean, And they're going to probably be better than ultimately they have been
Absolutely.
The last couple of years, especially if their pitching can stay healthy. And the Marlins are always a pain in the ass, even though they stink.
Yeah, but they're going to really struggle, yeah. especially with the other teams in the division rather than so good.
Byron Kerr, he does it all, and he does it well. He's got the latest sports flash right here. You going to do it here?
Yeah.
Oh, let's do it right here, right now on The Fan. We had almost half the station roster join us at one point or another. I mean, in just the last hour, we had Byron Kerr, we had Chris Blue Shorts Lingbach, and Jason Bishop from the Junkies, who is in studio. Why? Because he forgot his computer cord, which, as Blue Shorts points out, when he said, quote, "I can't live without my computer," and I wholeheartedly agreed with him. There's no way. I smell what the bitch is cooking. Blue Shorts pointed out he drove all the way in from Ashburn. And then we started tallying up the toll charges because Bish said he cruised on the toll road. So, you know, you start tallying that up, right? $350, I think it is, on the Dulles toll road from Ashburn. So $7, say, round trip, $4 or $5 in gas, roughly. 2 gallons of gas, something like that. I mean, I don't know what kind of Bishmobile he's got. Probably $6-$7 in gas, somewhere in that range, right? I don't know. What does a new computer cord cost? Say that 3 times, 5 times, 10 times, whatever. But I was just telling BK, Byron Kerr, I'd probably do the same damn thing. I wouldn't even think to go to Staples or Office Max or Best Buy or whatever, and pay for a new plug. I don't know. Can you get universal plugs for laptops like you can for, like, chargers for cell phones and stuff? I don't know. I've never looked into that. I mean, first of all, I don't think I've been to a Staples or an Office Max in years. I mean, I would probably think go Amazon, try and get it in 2 days, but that doesn't help you out. I mean, can you just walk into Best Buy? I've been to a Best Buy recently and say, hey, I have an HP 360 laptop or Dell, whatever. Get me a new plug and pay $30 for it. I mean, is that worth it versus drive? I don't know. Don't know. One interesting dynamic, though, that I found interesting, maybe you might not find it interesting, was when I realized who we were dealing with and how weird it was to see Bishop in here at 9 o'clock on a Friday night. I asked Vic if that's who I thought it was. And then I said, can you go get him? Because I couldn't find him. Like, I didn't know where he was. Like, I wanted him to stop by. And JT the Vic was telling me afterwards, he's like, he didn't know who I was. He's like, I'm like, what do you mean he doesn't know who you are? He's been here forever. He's been here forever. No. He's like, I don't think, what did you say? I don't think you ever met?
Or I don't think we've ever talked. But yeah, that I've been here for like 8 years. And he didn't say anything, but I just had the sense like, I don't think I know who you are, but okay.
So
yeah.
You just ran out and
well, he was talking with Byron, and then he walked out, and as he's like about to turn the corner and be gone forever.
And you just, I said, like hauling a cab.
Yeah. Well, I was afraid. I didn't know how to call him. Do I say Bishop? Did you say Jason?
Papa?
Do I say Lurch? Do I say, well, how do I refer to him? I don't know. He doesn't know who I am.
What did you do?
I just said Bish.
You did call him Bish. He likes Bish. He does not like Lurch.
So I got lucky then.
So you called him Bish,
right.
And he responded.
Yeah, and then I said, would you want to come in and talk with Russell for a couple of minutes? And then he's like, yeah, sure. He was all nice about it, and then he walked in. But I'm pretty sure that's the first time.
But he didn't say, who are you, or anything like that?
No, he didn't say that, but, I mean, he might not know Or maybe he was like, he was in such a good mood that he had his power cord that he was like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. Little does he know that that is the first time I've ever talked to him. I've talked to JP. I even went to WWE with Chad Dukes and JP at one point. And I, Cakes knows me. EB knows me, barely. But Lurch or Papa, however you call him, he has no idea who I am. That was our first ever interaction.
Wait, who did you say barely knows you? EB?
Although,
EB's,
I mean, he and I had a bit of a beef a few months ago.
You did?
Yeah. I don't want to get into it.
Why not?
It's not even necessary.
I want to get into it.
He's like, he called me an ugly rat. Let's just say that. He's like, I don't even know that ugly rat kid or whatever it was.
Oh my God. EB said that?
Yeah. And I wasn't too fond of that.
Oh.
I was like, that's when I said, well, you don't know me. I mean, I've done a few junkie shows before.
So I shouldn't be laughing about what he said. I mean, I was more laughing because.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It was kind of absurd that he would say that.
Well, he said it.
He said it on the air.
Yeah.
Why did your name came up?
I think
up?
It was Chad called in and he was talking about like, oh, our JT the Vic. They were talking something about video games and about Fortnite.
Right.
And
you
I ended
the
up
master of video
I,
games.
Yeah, I'm the, like the master of video games. And then EB's like, I don't know who that is. Because Chad knows me.
Right.
And.
Well, you're going to be the executive producer of Chad's show now.
I don't think I'm executive. I think I'll be. We don't know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just say I'm helping out.
So what would you say that you're usurping Brock? That you're taking power and control?
I'm not
and
taking any
over.
Power. You could bring that up to CK. Either way, the point of the matter is that they were talking about video games and then Chad brought my name up.
Uh-huh.
And that's when EB's like, who's that guy? Is he like that ugly rat kid or something like
that?
I don't even know that guy.
Wait,
I don't even know.
Why would he call you that if he's never seen you before?
I don't know. But he said that was very insulting. And so.
But you've worked like Grant and Danny's shift, right?
Right.
So
and I brought up to him on Twitter. It's like, I've seen you in passing. We've done a few years ago. We did some Redskins pregame stuff. And I even met him at Nats Park once. We bumped into him, and I talked to him. But then he ends up saying, I don't know who that kid is. And so at that point, I was like, whoa. I mean, we've chatted a few times before.
Maybe he didn't know JT the Vic, and he knew only Slick Vic?
I don't
Vic
know.
Vic Ferrero?
I don't know. Either way, it insulted me. But I've quashed that beef. Apparently, he said he apologized the next day on the show, but I was asleep probably, so
yeah,
I didn't hear it.
Right. Probably from video games and Subway, right?
Yeah, let's just say that.
So you're Chad Dukes' executive producer now?
I'm not. I am just helping out on the show.
So you're replacing Brock.
Okay, you're just trying to stir things up. That's what you do, Rooster. That's what you do.
So you were telling me that show needed a big boost.
Oh, gosh. They need a little bit of JT the Vic.
A little
JT.
Chad.
Chad Dukes versus the Swell. There you go.
All right. I don't know if anybody cares about this stuff, but I love it. I can't talk sports for the rest of my life. I just can't.
This is a wacky show today.
It is. I mean, what do you want from me? I don't care that much about stupid Bruce Allen. I don't care.
We only had
horrible.
One guest booked today.
Right.
And it turned into about 75.
Into just a bonanza.
And we have a caller on hold that's been hold for 2 hours.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. I'm sorry. I just forgot about you said. All right, we got to take a break, and then I'm going to take him?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Oh, Poor guy. I feel terrible now.
Apparently he's a first-time caller.
Is he?
Yeah, that's how desperately he wants to get on the air.
Oh, poor guy. And we've treated him like crap because we've had so many guests, and I just totally forgot. I'm sorry.
But he has a lot of good entertainment.
All right. Take a timeout, and then we'll come back. JT the Vic, executive producer of Chad Dukes versus the World.
Stop.
With us, I'm merely Chris Russell on the Fan. All right, it is our last segment together. I've got to get to, I believe it's you said, in D.C., who's been hanging on for like, I don't know, an hour and a half. Am I saying your name right? You said?
It's good enough. It's good enough.
Okay. Well, thank you for being patient. I apologize. I really apologize. It's my fault. We just had
No worries. It's your show. It's your show. You talk about what you want. It's your show, man.
I appreciate you being so patient. What's going on, man? I appreciate.
First-time caller, long-time fan. Look, I just wanted to make two quick points here and agree with the two previous callers that called in, I guess, like 2 hours, 2 hours ago now. We're not saying that Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen should be defended.
Right.
And you're not too hard on him. You shouldn't be patient with him. I mean, there's no question, no doubt, that he's heavily contributing to the mediocrity of this team. What we're saying is that, indeed, like, we are beating a dead horse here. There's other problems contributing to the mediocre product that's been offered here that needs to be talked about. And the second thing is AP is a legend, and we wouldn't be like 7-9 without him. But we do need a long-term RB for the future. I mean, even that drunk Cowboys fan before, like, had a point with AP. I mean, AP is great, but
Well, the only reason why I shot him down was because you have Darius Guice. Now, I understand Darius Guice missed all of his rookie year, so he's far from a guarantee. But I guess what I was trying to get at was running back, of all things, is the least important issue right now on this football team, at least the way I see it.
Sure. But yeah, the first point stands that Bruce Allen, of course, should not be defended, and you're definitely not too hard on him. But at this point, it's starting to feel like we're beating a dead horse, and I mean, we should be talking about other things as well. That's the point I wanted to make.
No, I appreciate you hanging in there, and sorry to keep you on hold so long. That's my bad. Call back in tomorrow, and I'll get you on quicker, or next time we're on. Because I'll be on noon to four tomorrow and then throughout next week. But a couple of short shows. I'll be on for a full show next Wednesday night, I think. But short shows on Monday and Friday from Capital One Arena and so on and so forth. Anyway,
tomorrow?
I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, noon to four on Saturday afternoon. So I'll give you some more time there. I appreciate you said in D.C. hanging on so long. But joining us right now is another member of the 106.7 The Fan clan. It is my pal Brock Lesnar from
Good evening.
Chad Dukes versus the World, the executive producer in waiting of Chad Dukes versus the World.
Well, good evening, Russell. And once I heard how many people had been on the show, I decided that I wanted to bookend. I asked you a question in studio earlier. Now I'm calling back.
Right,
like a super
fan. I'm more interested in you trying to root out somebody that's trying to take your job.
Well, I might have to discuss that more at a later date. But the thing is, I might have to defer to Vic because he's produced twice this week, and he somehow managed to get Joe Theismann to voluntarily call in Chad Dukes, and then somehow got Lurch in studio in the evening. So
pretty good production.
He's got the magic touch.
But wait a second, Brock, you booked me twice. That counts for something, right? I mean, who's more important, the Rooster or Joe Theismann and Jason Bishop at 9 o'clock at night?
Well, of course you are. And according to some people, I book you 8 segments a day every time I work there. But
wait a second. Is that a criticism of Chad Dukes himself?
Well, listen, I walk around there with no shortage of criticisms from everyone who works there.
I know how you feel, pal. Trust me.
Right, and hopefully one day, like to get back to where we started at the beginning of the show. Hopefully, this is Bruce Allen's swan song, where he takes on too much and Dan Snyder finally brings in someone else that we can complain about 5 years from now. So,
yeah, see,
thank you very much. I'll be listening tomorrow,
Rooster. Wait. Slow down. Don't hang up, because you know I like.
All right.
So are you telling me that you are a better producer than JT the Vic?
I stand by my work no matter what. And I don't compare myself to anyone else. I let my own work speak for itself. And my outlook on life is wherever I go, I try to be of maximum service of where I am. So I'm not in JT the Vic is Cap. He invented Gab's Hog. Like, I'm not going to try to compete with that guy. I have to be. Look, there's only one Kobe. I can't be Kobe. I can only be the best Brock there is.
Yeah, that's a fair point. He not only invented Gab's Hog, but also he's got this weird kind of like saying thing, like, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
where he calls Tom Wilson Sam Dilson or whatever.
Right. I actually think that's where the Junkies thing started, because Dukes brought up Gab's Hog and they were completely clueless.
Oh, and so that's when EB called him a weasel or a kid weasel or whatever it was?
The very insidious candy-stealing Eric Bickle called him some sort of name. He's called me smelly. And
he's called me smelly. I wonder what EB calls me. God almighty.
Russell, I've been accused of many things, but smelling poorly has not been one of them.
Except for
when I was drinking, I was accused of smelling like booze all the time.
Well, and also your food, which you get very sensitive about, because Chad will call it slop.
Maybe that's where it, maybe that's the impetus of it.
What did you eat for dinner tonight?
You know what? I haven't had a proper dinner. I'm going out and having one in a little bit, so we'll do that.
What are you going to have? It's 10 o'clock at night.
There's places open all night.
Really? I didn't know that.
Kebab Palace in Crystal City, not to give anyone a plug. Or maybe Bob and Edith. I don't know. Haven't decided yet. It's a long night. I worked hard this week, pal.
Yes, you did. I'm not familiar with either place. Edith's, you said?
Bob and Edith. It's a diner in, there's a couple of them in Arlington.
Okay. And what would you, what, I'm just curious, what would Brock eat at a diner?
You got to get blueberry pancakes and then go from there.
That's a good call. I like a good blueberry pancake.
You're going to have to wait for a cheat day, Dr. EMP.
Yeah, I know. Do you do a little sausage or bacon?
Sausage. I prefer bacon. If they have scrapple on the menu, I can go with that.
Scrapple. Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible. And why am I not surprised? Do you eat like anchovies?
I don't hate them.
Ugh. Scrapple, anchovies.
I don't love anchovies. Now you're painting
beans,
me into a corner where I like
black beans. Oh, Brock.
You're
such a good man, and yet, I mean, but you're skinny. Whatever you're doing, I got to do more of.
Yes.
All right. Love you, man.
Well, hopefully tomorrow you get to talk about some Sam Silson, or AKA Tom Wilson,
yes.
Or as I call him, Austin Powers, because he's the best. Yeah. Women want him, men want to be him. Have a great night, Rooster. Thank you for taking my call. Rack me, I'm out.
Wait, Brock. Are you still there, Brock?
Yeah.
You got to promote your podcast.
Oh, yes. There will be a new one at some point, either this weekend or Monday. It's Brock's On My Soap Brox.
Wait, I thought this was a bit. I didn't realize you actually had a real podcast.
The first one went up on the Chad Dukes versus the World, which you can hear Monday through Friday, 2 to 6:30 p.m. on 106.7 The Fan and radio.com, and go to facebook.com/CDVTW to find a link to the podcast below.
Can you do that at Commonwealth Dry Goods?
I did not, but that is a great place to go if you're looking for fancy jerky or weird nuts. Any stuff that is better than the food that I eat, go there. And I put it up this morning, and that's where the audio that Shorts was mercilessly pulling out and cherry-picking my audio, my one flub in 10 stellar minutes. And, of course, I guest-hosted the download
and there's no audio from that stellar broadcast.
I've got to listen to the Brock Lesnar podcast.
Yeah. It'll get better. I will take the criticism that I got from the great Chad Dukes and others, and then, you know, get back to the grind. And I have an outline. On the next one, I will be reviewing a snack that Cakes, Allville, the nice junkie, as people like to refer to, some beet puffs, which are less than stellar. And as Landfill pointed out, that they taste like punishment or something like that. Yeah. Or it's not nice to give people this food. So
yeah. Landfill walked out of here with an entire huge bag of Cool Ranch Doritos under his flapper.
I saw. So, anyways, Russell, I will be listening tomorrow at some point.
Thanks,
and once
pal.
Again,
I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, Rack Me. Yeah. I'm out.
Out. There's the executive producer of Chad Dukes versus the World, despite JT the Vic trying to pinch hit for him, despite JT the Vic trying to steal away his job. He is defending his turf.
I'm glad that I'm not working on this show anymore now.
You are Wednesday night.
Except for Wednesday. That's it.
You're not done with me yet.
Unfortunately.
You got the whole weekend off, though, don't you?
I've had the whole weekend off for like 2 months.
What are you talking about? You get every weekend off.
Not until Nat season.
It hasn't been Nat season since early October.
Yeah, a couple months. Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right, thanks to everybody who joined us and derailed this radio program into lunacy.
Can you go through the guests on the top of your head?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Chad Dukes. Chad Pukes.
Chad D.
Chad D. Byron Kerr. Jason Bishop. Chris, what's his name? Blue Shorts Lingblock. Brock Plyman. That it?
You missed a couple.
Oh, Charlie Slows.
And you missed one.
Oh, and Nick Ashew.
There you go.
Hollywood Nick Ashew, who's on TV right now. You see him? See how handsome he is? He doesn't even have a sports jacket
Give
on.
Him a ring. See if he answers on the air.
They don't take calls. That's lame.
No. See if he answers his phone.
Oh, yes. What's coming up next? NFL preview?
NFL preview.
NFL preview via Westwood One and then for real on the Bench an hour from now. See you tomorrow afternoon at noon. Adios on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.